We'd like to continue with this the Surah Al-Ahzab, and inshallah we will end it tonight with this ayah. Ayah number 4, I believe it is. And we made an error. The brothers corrected me last night. Tonight is the 8th night of Ramadan. The 7th night of Ramadan. The 8th night. Okay, then I was correct. Last night I said it was the 7th night, right? So it was the 8th night or 7th? Okay, what's the night right now? The 8th night. Okay, that's okay. Okay, and that's what I said. We'd like to continue with this surah on this 8th night of Ramadan, corresponding with the 16th of January, inshallah, here in Masjid al-Muslimin, after Salatul Isha. And this surah, Surah Al-Ahzab, I don't know if we mentioned it in the beginning, but this surah is a Madani surah. And what we mean by Madani, we mean that this surah was revealed in Al-Madinah. It was revealed in Al-Madinah because we have surahs that are revealed in either Mecca or Al-Madinah. We also have surahs that were revealed in other places like Hudaybiyah and Ta'if and other places. And this is a whole discipline within itself in the science of tafsir, where the places where the surahs were revealed. Places where the surahs were revealed. Some were revealed in Mecca, some were revealed in Medina, some were revealed between the cities of Mecca and Medina. And some of the ulama, they say that if the surah was revealed in between the city of Mecca and Medina, literally geographically between Mecca and Medina, and it's closer to Mecca, then it's Meccan. And if it's closer to the city of Medina, then it's Medani. And some say anything that's before the Hijra, regardless if it was revealed in Mecca or Medina, it's Meccan. And if it's revealed after the Hijra, regardless if it was revealed in Mecca or Medina, it's Madani. And then there are verses that were revealed Laylan. And then there are verses revealed Naharan. Verses that were revealed in the night. Verses that were revealed in the day. Then you have verses that are Sayfan. And other verses that are Shita'an. Verses that are summer verses. Verses that are winter verses. And all of these things gives the ulama additional information for them to explain to us the information that we need, so that we'll know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends. Another key to know if a surah is Madani or Mekki, all of the majority of the surahs that are short are considered revealed in Mecca. They're Meccan surahs. The majority of the surahs that are long are considered Madani surahs, revealed in Medina. The surahs that talks about the stories of the prophets, those stories are Meccan. The surahs that talks about the nations of old are Meccan. If the surah is talking about Tawheed, if it emphasizes Tawheed, if it emphasizes stories of the prophets, if it emphasizes the Al-Umum, the nations of the past, if it emphasizes Al-Jannah wa Nar, the paradise and the hellfire, then it's Meccan. If it talks about ahkam, al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, like the laws of salah and the laws of zakat and the laws of al-fara'id, inheritance, or the laws of hidana, of child custody, or the laws of hajj and umrah, or the laws of jihad, then it's revealed in Medina. If the surah starts out saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, for the most part, it's going to be Madani. If the surah starts out, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, it's Madani. If it starts out, Ya ayyuhal nas, it's Madani. It's going to be revealed in Medina. If a surah starts out with one of the huruf al-muqatta'a, one of the letters, the disconnected letters, which some people call them mystical letters, but there's no such thing as the mystical letters in the Quran. If it starts out with kaf, ayn, ha, sad, or something like this, a sad, yasin, alif, lam, mim, it's Madani. It's revealed in Medina. If the surah, what else do we have? If the surah starts out with kella, or if it has kella, like this, all the ayat that starts, that not start, but that have kella, like in Surah Mutaffifin, kella bal rana ala qulubihim bima kanu yaksibun, any surah that has kella in it is Meccan. Any surah that has a sajda in it is Meccan. All surahs that refer to the munafiqun, except for Surah Al-Ankabut, the spider, is Madani. And there's some surahs that are Madani, but they have Meccan verses inside of them. And there's some surahs that have Meccan, they're Meccan surahs, but they have some verses that are from Medina inside of them. Did I say that the surahs that begin with Ya Ayyuhan Nas are Madani? Meccan. Any surah that starts out, all human beings, is Meccan. That's my mistake. Okay, so this surah is revealed in Al-Madinah. And now we'd like to mention this, not the last verse of the surah, but the last verse that we want to discuss, inshallah. The next verse is this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not put in a human being, inside of a man, two hearts inside of his body. Allah has not placed two hearts inside of the man's body. There's some notes that I made, but I realize now that if I mention them, they may not make sense to probably everybody. So I don't think I'm going to mention. Try you? Try you. I need tafsir for what you just said. Try you? Okay. In this ayah, Allah says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ, Allah has not put for a man two hearts inside of his body. This word ja'ala, there are two basic meanings for ja'ala in the Quran, which causes the average reader some problems. There's ja'ala kawni and ja'ala shari'i. Ja'ala kawni is the meaning, ja'ala meaning khalaqa. Ja'ala, jim ayn lam, means khalaqa. The other meaning of ja'ala is shara'a, which means to legislate. So you have ja'ala meaning created, and ja'ala meaning legislated. In this particular ayah, Allah uses the harfun nafi, the particle of negation, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ, Allah did not ja'ala for a man two hearts in his body. So even though you don't know, what is the meaning of it? You lost. Okay. You weren't paying attention. That's all. You were more concerned with the screwdriver. Allahu Akbar. So the word ja'ala here, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ, ja'ala meaning khalaqa, and ja'ala meaning shara'a. Khalaqa means to create, shara'a means to legislate. So here ja'ala means khalaqa. Allah did not create inside of the man two hearts. Alright? There's other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses ja'ala, and it doesn't mean khalaqa. Right? It means shara'a. Means he legislated. As in, if you look, and somebody can find Surah 17, chapter 17, verse 6. Allah says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. Then we gave you once again a return of victory over them, and we helped you with wealth and children. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And we جَعَلَ, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ, we made the جَعَلَ for you numerous in manpower. So what does جَعَلَ mean here? Huh? Nah, it's created. Yeah, we created you numerous in manpower. We created you numerous in manpower. That's what it means there. But in another ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِن بَحِيرَةٍ وَلَا سَائِبَةٍ وَلَا وَصِيلَةٍ وَلَا حَامٍ. Allah didn't جَعَلَ from the بَحِيرَة, from the سَائِبَة, from the wasila and the hama. These are the different types of cattle that the pagan Arabs used to, one with a slit ear, and one if it was born twins, and the other one if it was born this way, and if it came out this way, then they, you know, these like they was idol worshipping. Not idol worshipping, but they were superstitions, excuse me. Superstitions. So here the word ja'ala means shara'a. Allah didn't legislate for these people to do that with those animals. Right? So this is two of the meanings, the two meanings of ja'ala in the Quran. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ayah number 4, He means, مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. This particular ayah was revealed as an answer to the people who had the belief that a man named Abu Ma'mar, Abu Ma'mar al-Fahri, Abu Ma'mar Jamil ibn Ma'mar al-Fahri. Abu Ma'mar was a man who the pagan Arabs in Mecca believed that he had two hearts. They say he had two hearts inside of him. One that one narration says that told him, that commanded him to do something, and the other heart that would prohibit him from doing something. And he also used to say himself that I have two hearts, both of them are more intelligent than Muhammad's heart, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also used to say he had two hearts of which he understood with both of them. He understood with both of them. And another version, he used to say that he had two selves which commands him and prohibits him. And he also said that one was more intelligent and more knowledgeable than the Prophet's heart, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. No. I wouldn't be able to repeat what you said so that the sisters can hear it, but this, listen to what Imam al-Zuhri said. This is what Imam al-Zuhri said, to maybe we can answer this. When I was reading the explanation for this, it says that some of the scholars of tafsir, and in the forefront was al-Zuhri, he had the opinion that this sentence, this ayah, was not intended لِذَاتِهِ, or لِذَاتِهَا, because it's an ayah, لِذَاتِهَا, but it was لِغَيْرِهَا. In other words, it wasn't, how we explain this, يَحَمَكُمُ اللَّهُ, لِذَاتِهَا, meaning for the actual thing itself. That the meaning of it was لِغَيْرِهَا, for other than the meaning, like what you're saying right now. And he said, the reason why is because a human being doesn't have two hearts. A human being doesn't have two hearts, and in actuality, Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, said that the reason why Allah has said in the beginning of this ayah, number 4, مَا جَعْلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ, it is done as a tamheed. It's done as a prelusion or a preface or an introduction to the other two statements that are going to be made right after that, which is وَمَا جَعْلَ أَزْوَاجُكُمُ اللَّائِي تُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْهُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ وَمَا جَعْلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبَنَاءَكُمْ
ذلكم قولكم بأفواهكم والله يقول الحق وهو يهدي السبيل. Neither has he made your wives whom you declare to be your mother's backs, your real mothers, like in the divorce of the Zihar. Or, nor has he made your adopted sons your real sons. This is but a saying with your mouth, but Allah says the truth and He guides to the right way. So Imam Az-Zuhri, he's saying that in actuality it's not talking about two hearts, because everybody knows that a human being doesn't have two hearts. So it's talking about something outside of that, your heart. It's actually a prelude, an introduction to what's coming after it, to show the ridiculous nature of the people who say that a person has, that his wife is like his mother, or that his son from other than his sperm is his son. In other words, there's no way for you to say that your wife is your mother and stay away from her, as some men still do to this day. They treat their wives like their mothers. They don't touch them sexually. Right? Or as some people claim that their sons, that their adopted sons or their stepsons are their sons, when there's no way that boy can be your son in terms of lineage except through sperm. He can be your sons in other ways, but he can only be your real son connected to your genealogy through sperm, and that's it. In the real sense, as far as your lineage. He can be your son by way of marriage, meaning like your stepson of the woman you've gone into. He can be your son by way of milk. He can be with your son in other ways. But he can't be your son in lineage, in terms of lineage, as the people used to claim, except by only sperm. So Imam Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, which seems to be the strongest of opinions and correctest, and the most closest to that which is correct, is that he's saying that Allah is doing it as a tamheed, as an introduction to show how stupid it is to say those other two statements. So Allah puts the more obvious statement before that by saying, and Allah has not made inside of a human being two hearts. And then emphasis is placed, in the ayah, because Allah could have said, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ. Allah didn't make for the man two hearts. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Inside of him. Because everybody knows that your heart is not outside of you. So to bring more emphasis to show you how stupid it is, Allah actually states, فِي جَوْفِهِ, inside of him. Because where else is the heart going to be? It's as ridiculous as you calling your wife your mother, and as ridiculous as you trying to say that boy is your son through lineage. Allah is saying, this is equally as ridiculous. It's just as you would say, Allah made for the man a heart outside of him. So he emphasizes by saying, Allah didn't make two hearts inside of him. I don't know if that makes any sense. Does it make any sense? Inshallah. And our Shaykh, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says that this ayah is similar to the ayah in the Quran where Allah says, وَمَا مِن دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا الْأُمُمُمْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. That there is not one creature that walks on the earth, nor flies in the air with two wings, except that they are like a nation. They are nations like you. Why did Allah say بِجَنَاحَيْهِ, with two wings? Because you can't fly with one. It's the same thing with the two hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And that's the end of this verse that we wanted to mention, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us approach the Quran in the way that it should be approached, and to understand the meaning of the Quran the way Allah intended it, which is only by way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and those who followed them in righteousness. Subhanaka Allahumma hamdaka ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Anybody? Now. The longest.
Surah Al-Furqan is not considered long. No. Surah Al-Furqan has how many ayah? 80? Yeah, that's not considered long. 80 verses are not considered long. When we have 120 or 150 verses and up, then it's considered a long surah. Right. Yeah. To us it's long. But these surah are mufassala. These are short surahs. Now, yeah, absolutely. When we say split, the question for the sisters that couldn't hear is that, is there such thing as a surah that is split, meaning one part can have come down before the hijrah and another part can come down after the hijrah? And this is absolutely correct. There are surahs or verses that have come down before the hijrah, and there are some that come down after the hijrah. There are also some surahs that have been surahs and or ayat that have been revealed twice. Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed twice. It was revealed in Mecca and it was revealed again in Medina. There are some verses that were revealed, one verse for two or three occasions. Two or three different occasions. And then you have two verses revealed for the one occasion, which is the opposite. So this happens through the Quran. And while we're mentioning that with surah and ayah, the meaning, the word ayah literally means alamatun zahira, means apparent sign. That's the literal meaning. But the religious meaning is three meanings, which we don't go into, inshallah. But one of the meanings of ayah, religiously, it means a part of something, like a part of a surah. And the one who made the tahdeed, or the one who restricted or defined what is an ayah, in other words, the beginning and the end of an ayah, was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, by the command of Allah through the angel Jibreel. He is the one that actually determines what is an ayah. We would never know what is an ayah until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained it to us. For example, the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was explaining the seven oft-repeated ayat, which is Al-Fatiha. And he said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When he started with Alhamdulillah and he ended with Rabbil Alameen, we know that that one complete thing is an ayah. And not Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He started with Alhamdulillah and he ended with Rabbil Alameen, so that lets us know that that's one ayah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is one ayah. Maliki Yawmiddin is one ayah. We have another hadith in Al-Bukhari where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu, whose kunya was Abu al-Munzir, he said, O Abu al-Munzir, Ya Abu al-Munzir, Atadri ayyu ayatin fil Qur'ani a'zamu? Do you know which ayah in the Quran is the most greatest? And then Abu Munzir radiallahu anhu began to ponder and deeply think, which shows the astuteness and the acumen and the deep knowledge of Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, because he didn't say Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. He said Ayatul Kursi. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I congratulate you for your ilm, O Abu Munzir. I congratulate you for your knowledge. Which shows, and then when he said Ayatul Kursi, and then he said, Allahu la ilaha illa hu al-hayyul qayyum. This is what he said. This is what Abu Munzir said. Allahu la ilaha illa hu al-hayyul qayyum, which is Ayatul Kursi, which lets you know that from the beginning to the end, wa la ya'uduhu hifzuhuma, وهو العلي العظيم, that from Allah لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم to the end of that section is one ayah. So a person separating it has separated the ayah. That whole thing is an ayah. Alright? And there's other examples like this in the Quran. So this is an important point that you're making. And we have 6,600 some odd ayat, or ay, as one plural of the word ayah is ay, ay is a plural of ayah. We have 6,600 verses in the Quran, as we already know, and 114 surah. Now, Allah knows best if he forgot or if he knew. For the sisters who can't hear, he's asking about something that was mentioned yesterday or the day before yesterday about Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about him praying for the munafiq. The question is it because the Prophet didn't know or the Prophet forgot? And Allah knows best. I don't know if he knew or he didn't know. Allah knows best. Oh, no. Now, it's telling us to continue before, once again, they can't hear. The ayah we mentioned yesterday, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, aminu. O you who believe, believe. In other words, O you who believe, continue to believe. Continue to believe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, these stop signs, for lack of a better word, these stop signs in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed the Quran, He revealed the Quran. And what we mean by Him revealing the Quran, He revealed the Quran, we mean that everything in the Quran, including the rules of tajweed, were revealed by Allah. This is not something that came from the tribes. This came from Allah. And those signs that you find in the Quran that you didn't find during the time of the Sahaba is also revealed. They're also revealed. We know they're revealed because their recitations, that their physical recitations prove that it's part of it. The actual writing them in to make them easy for you and I who are Ajaim or Ajim, who are not Arabs. Yeah, we're not Arabs, we're Ajim. It made it easier for us, like those 7 or 10 recitations makes it easier for us. Right? As we mentioned the other night for this particular ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah kana bima ta'maluna khabira in Surah Ahzab, and it's also read, Inna Allah kana bima ya'maluna khabira. And this is one of the renderings of the recitation, not necessarily that's going to make it easy or difficult, but this is one of the recitations. Nonetheless, those signs in the Quran, the la and the meme, and all those different signs that tell you it's better to stop here, you can stop here, it's permissible to stop here, but you can continue, you can't stop here, you have to keep going. Those things were part of the recitation of the Messenger of Allah himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As, for instance, Allah says in the Quran, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله. No one knows the recitation except, well, no one knows the meaning except Allah. In the beginning, it is He who has revealed the book. And in this book, there are ayat that are muhkam, there are decisive, clear verses, and there are ayat that are mutashabih, which are unclear, which should not be translated as allegorical. And among mankind are those who have this zayg in their hearts. They try to interpret the unclear verses without knowledge, seeking to cause dissension and fitna among the people. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ. If you don't separate it, you'll be saying that no one knows the deep meaning except Allah and those people who are firmly grounded in knowledge. And this is how the Sufis and the other people who have deviated, this is how they read it and this is how they understand it. No one knows it except Allah and my Shaykh. You need to come to my Shaykh if you want to know the meaning.
وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. No, it should be وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. And those firm in knowledge, after you stop saying no one knows the meaning except Allah, and those firm in knowledge, they say it's all from Allah. We believe in all of it. But if you join it, it's like you're joining them with Allah. In the ilm of the ta'wil, which is the tafsir. So there's some places that you just can't, you have to stop. And there's other places where, even though you don't, there's no stop there, you still should stop. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Is this it? Sheikh? Is this it? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ, هو المسيح بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. With the Alif Lam, هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. نعم. Surely they disbelieve who say that Allah is the Messiah, the Son of Mary. What if you do this? لَقَدَ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا. You stop. Right? Then somebody comes in and joins the salah. And you forget, you continue without going back. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Surely Allah is the Messiah, the Son of Mary. What are you saying? Or someone that says this, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. I seek refuge with Allah from the rejected shaitan. Allah is the one, there is no one worthy of worship except Him. He is الحي القيوم. You've connected shaitan with Allah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله لا إله إلا هو. So you should stop. And at least put, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And then, say, Allahu la ilaha illa hu al-hayyu qayyum. This is just some of the things that some of the ulama, they mentioned. And it's something that we should ponder upon. But even with all of this, we still, once again, the dua is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us approach, to give us the ability to approach the Qur'an and to understand the Qur'an the way the Qur'an should be understood. And the only way we can understand what Allah intends in this book is to understand it the way the Sahaba understood it. And the way the Tabi'un received it from the Sahaba. And the way the Itba'u Tabi'een received it from their teachers, the Tabi'un. There is no other understanding, as Ibn Taymiyyah in my conclusion he says, and his Muqaddamah, and his introduction in Tafsir, and his Majmu'a Fatawa, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, it is haram, la yajuz, not permissible, prohibited, for anyone, that when an ayah has been agreed upon by the Sahaba on its meaning, that the Sahaba had a consensus on the meaning of an ayah, for someone to come after them and say that it has another meaning. And if the Sahaba was split with two opinions on the meaning of an ayah, there's some Sahaba over here that said it means this, and there's some Sahaba over there that said it means that, for someone to come with a third meaning. It's not permissible. It's not permissible. Because they were there, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, like he said, I was present when 70 surahs of the Quran was revealed. I know the meaning of all of them. I know why they were revealed. And if there was anyone who knew them better than me, I would get on the fastest animal and go straight to him. So we can't come with anything new. If we want to know what Allah means by Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, then we have to go back to see how Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Talha and Zubair and Aisha and Hafsa and the rest of them understood that ayah. If we want to know what غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين means, we have to go back to Ubay ibn Ka'b and Zayd ibn Thabit and Mu'adh ibn Jabal رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, and how they understood it from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the tafsir of At-Tabari and others. The Jews were standing right there when they asked Rasulullah, the Sahaba, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is غير المغضوب عليهم? The Prophet pointed and said, those people right there, the Jews. And when they asked him, who is ولا الضالين? He pointed to them and said, those people right there, the Christians, no one can come now and say it's not permissible to not call the Jews those whom Allah is angry with, and the Christians are those ones who are astray. No one can take that ayah and say it means anything else other than what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said that it meant. It's not permissible. Naam. Naam. Yeah, the question for the sisters in the 752, inshallah, we're going to begin inshallah soon. The question is, in a nutshell, there are some ayat, like the ayah that says, Ya ayyuha ladina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. It seems, Abu Qutb is saying, it seems like the strength of the statement, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. The inflection that, it seems like maybe the inflection should be more forceful. And this has some validity. If you'll find some of the ulama, that when they have verse, when they come across verses in their recitation, ulama of Quran, when they come across verses of Jannah, you find the octaves of their voices going upward. Their voice becomes high, a high pitch. And when you hear them talking about An-Nar, wa'u'iddat lil-kafirin, the fire is prepared for the disbelievers. And when they're talking about u'iddat lil-muttaqeen, it goes up. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Right? So it does have something to it. Also, like if you notice, there's some things in the Quran, this, the tempo of it gives you the feeling of what's going on. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِئَاتِ قَدْحًا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا. This is the galloping of horses. Like this. Right? Because this ayah is talking about the horses' feet, their hoofs striking against the ground when the Muslims are going out and, you know, to fight. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِئَاتِ قَدْحًا. This is, you can't get any of this in English. You can't get any of this in English. This is the Quran, the magnificent, glorious, noble, tremendous Quran, and this is the month that it was revealed in, and we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pour in our hearts the love for this Quran, and to pour in our hearts the desire to increase our knowledge so we can approach the Quran the way it should be approached and understand it the way it should be understood, which is the way that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah, Abu Qasim al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught it to his companions, and the way that the companions taught it to the tabi'un and those who followed them in righteousness. Naam. This will be the last one, inshallah. Yeah, we mentioned yesterday that one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Nabi and mentions Rasul, sometimes when Ar-Rasul is connected to Risala, when it's connected to the message itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is connecting the Rasul with the Risala, with giving the message. Whereas when he uses a Nabi, in many cases you find it's almost like it's a reprimand or instruction. And of course, I'm not a hafiz of Quran, but of Sheikh Ja'far, if he could recite some ayat that starts with Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet, I would almost, now I have to be careful what I'm about to say, I would almost guarantee that it's either admonition or some type of stern instruction. Do you, I don't know, maybe he understands what I'm saying, but, okay, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, lima tuharrima. Why are you making haram what Allah made halal? O Prophet! Right? And you know that, we know that Prophet is on a lower level, so to speak, than a Rasul. Right? Because we have the Rasul is a higher level than a Prophet. They're both one, those who receive revelation, but some of the ulama, and there's some differences, say that every messenger is a Prophet, but every Prophet is not a messenger. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuha nabiyyu, ittaqi Allah wa la tuti'il kafirin wal munafiqin. Once again, he's admonishing him. So he's using an-nabi. Whereas al-rasul, Ya ayyuha al-rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Right? O messenger, convey, make the tabligh of that which is revealed to you from your Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah knows best. It's 757, is that it? That's it. So, naam. yeah, it's not permissible for us to attribute the child to our lineage, to give him our name. If we have a stepchild, it's permissible for you, for that person, to call that person their father or that person their son in a manner that he means, that's my father after my father, or that's my son after my son. But to exclusively call that stepchild to call that person, this is my father, meaning the other person is not my father. If this is my real father because he treats me nice, he buys me candy, etc. No, whatever. This is not permissible. Outwardly, it should not be done. If I don't know that's not your son, you shouldn't introduce him, your wife's son, this is my son. In the house is different, but outside, and Allah knows best, you shouldn't introduce, this is my son. Because in my mind, going back to the issue of sperm, I'm thinking, that's your son. And anyone who calls somebody his son, meaning he attributes him to his lineage, he won't have Jannah, the hadith is in al-Bukhari. Anyone who calls somebody his son and he's not, then he won't enter the Jannah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah, to call them by their father's names. Or, if you don't know their father's names, then call them your brothers. فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. They're your brothers in the deen. Now, we got 45 seconds left. Yeah, you can say it's your stepson. There's no problem in saying it's stepson, your stepson. There's no real word in Arabic that you can say this is your stepson. You're going to say, هَذَا إِبْنُ زَوْجَ. هَذَا إِبْنُ زَوْجَتِ. This is the son of my wife. Automatically, an Arab is going to know. هَذِهِ بِنْتُ زَوْجَ. This is the daughter of my wife. Meaning, this is the daughter of my wife from her زَوْجَ السَّابِق. From her former husband. That it didn't come from you. Or you could say, my Rabib. Right, my Rabib. That's better. But there's some people who differ with this to use the word Rabib. Because some people say that the Rabib, min al-Rabaib, is the person who actually grew up in your house. Because you may have a stepson, or stepdaughter in this sense. A Rabib is what we call stepdaughter. Right? You may marry the sister, and the girl is 19 years old when you marry the mother. Some people say, technically, she's not your Rabib. Because the Rabib that Allah mentions in the Quran is the one that was on your lap. She grew up in your house, on your lap. I mean, you played with her, you know, she was 2 or 3 years old, she grew up. Alright? So, there's some differences, but in a nutshell, it's better to say that this is my stepson. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we have to end it here, he said, من غشنا فليس منا. Whoever deceives us is not of us. Whoever tricks us is not of us. And this is why the scholars of hadith, in terms of tadlis, when a person is mudallis, this is a very serious type of hadith. A mudallis is a person who he makes believe that he received the information from the person who narrated it before him, but he didn't actually do it. He didn't actually receive it from him. So he uses another name or something like that. For instance, I put some tapes out. Right? I don't want anybody to know that I'm the one that put the tapes out of a lecture that I did. So I say, it's Abu Sulaiman White. It's permissible for me to call myself Abu Sulaiman White. Why? It's because my father's name is White. My father, Dawood Adib. My father's name's last name is White. And Abu Sulaiman is a kunya that's known throughout the Muslim world, through history. Abu Sulaiman is a kunya that goes with only one name. One name only, which is? Anybody know? Huh? Nah. Abu Sulaiman. Nah. Who is the Sheikh Jaffa? Abu Sulaiman. Now, if I say Abu Sulaiman, I mean that my name is? It's a kunya. That's what I said. It's a kunya. Dawood. Dawood. Because the father of Sulaiman was Dawood. Alayhi as-salatu was-salam wa ala nabiyyina kadhalik. So if I wrote a book and I didn't want anybody to know, like they use these pen names. The author doesn't use his real name. If I wanted to trick somebody, I could say that this book was written by Abu Sulaiman White. And I wouldn't be lying, but it's deception. Why don't I just come out and say it's Dawood Adib? You see? So if you say that this boy is your boy, What do you mean? You mean this is my son by way of my wife, not by me. No, listen, that's not the issue of your last name. When you say this is my son, you're saying this came from your sperm. And you should clarify that. Because if you don't, this is ghish. This is deception. Right, but we're still saying, even if he keeps the father's name, to say from your mouth, this is my son, it's better not to say that. Because you're going to, you're giving the people the impression that that's your son from your sperm. You understand? This is the point we're trying to make. And Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows best. Ameen wa ayyakum. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.